Blog Talk Radio.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out now.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting, because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, Scott. We have Scott Schingeldecker on with us, and I have my lecture for the day, and I'm fine with it. How are you, Scott?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you? Where I had it. You're fine. Hey, we're doing well.
Can you hear me good? Is the microphone just where it should be? I want to make sure everything's all tidy here.
You sound good.
Tidy boy.
Sound good.
That's good. Let me get to some of these emails, okay? Let me get Leroy on. Leroy, you're on, and we're going to do some emails now. And,
okay, good evening, brothers and sisters, and it's always an honor to be on the show. Thank you for having me. Let's get on with Don and reading them emails to us. How about it, Don?
Well, all right, Leroy, thank you for being with us and sharing your experience with us and educating us, too, but in Kentucky, and I'm so proud of our membership, but I have to give this show a lot of credit for teaching me and so many others here. I was tossed out for 3 days for playing the show. When I came back, everyone on the line was listening. They couldn't throw us all out, so they left us alone. We really learned a lot, Scott and Leroy, then Mary and Brian. I like how he thinks. And Donnie, I listened on Saturday night to your show, too. I thought you were crazy, but well, a lot of people do. But like you said, look it up. Study. I know as much about what the government is about as I do the UAW now. Thank you. Thanks to all of you. You're never too old to learn. And damn, I learned a lot, too. Thank you very much. Jim Kite from Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you. Thank you very much. And congratulations to vote last night. I got to bed at about 5 o'clock, man. I was just really pumped. Really, really pumped. And Mary, you're on with us.
Yeah.
Did you get the... I put that final offer.
Have that up here. I've got it queued on my computer to watch that as soon as we're done.
That's very awesome. It's an awesome documentary. I think everybody should watch
it. Well, I like anything to do with the history of the UAW. I always have. I've always read the books on Walter Reuther and that. So, I want to know the history of it. I've spoken in the past to Paul Schrade. My father was quite the admirer of Paul Schrade, who, as you know, was a regional director and then went on to become Bobby Kennedy's speechwriter. And as a matter of fact, he was one of the people that was shot when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated at the Ambassador Hotel. And they said that some of Bobby's last words were, "Is Paul all right?" I mean, he's in his 80s now, but I spoke to him 1 year at Christmas time. And he's quite the remarkable man. And, you know, I was always interested in Ken Bannon because I met Ken. God rest his soul. He was just a lovely person. He was the one who developed the sub-pay program, which I thought was very forward-thinking and quite visionary for the time.
Yeah, very much. And I think you really will enjoy this. It's called The Final Offer. It's on YouTube. Folks, you ought to, if you haven't seen it, it takes you into negotiations with Canadian UAW and Owen Beaver, and then you can see where they're going to split up pretty soon. So you can feel it. Okay, here's another email. Hello, fellow UAW members. We did it in Louisville. Thanks to this show and all the info from Teresa. Hell, if it wasn't for all of you, we wouldn't have known about health care or the pensions. Thanks, everyone. We have some damn good people working here, and I'm proud to call them my brothers and sisters. And that's from Ken S. Ken, there you go. It seems like I read that before.
Thank you, Ken.
Yes, absolutely. Now, this is from Looking Forward to Monday Morning. We've been in communication a little bit today. Hello, because one of our printers are off. When he sends something screws up. So bear with me. He did it. He wrote it again. Wrote what he wrote before that I couldn't read. Hello, everyone. I told you many times this show makes a big difference. We still have a ways to go, but it's looking good so far. With this show and Teresa posting their articles, people have learned the truth. Without your show in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I really don't think we would do so good. I told you I had to go on a trip, and they sent me so many of us. They wanted to make sure it passed. They already were voting when we got there, and they listened to the show. Most were talking about their health care and pensions. Guess where they heard that from? You. The local leadership also was talking about the show. If I were any of you, I wouldn't transfer to Kentucky. I don't think we will. I don't think so. I don't think Scott wants to go to Kentucky anytime soon. I heard them talking about something called the J part of the contract. They didn't know. They didn't know it. All they knew was they called it the J part. They didn't know what to call it, but they heard Mary talk about it many times, and Leroy and Scott. They said the show will be on, and well, that's why they voted no anyway. And they said the show will be on again tonight. And some people, what in the world is that noise? And some people said they've been doing it for 2 weeks straight. And a young lady said it's because they care about us. And they all agreed, and so do I. One said he stopped listening some time ago because it was boring listening to just one person go on and on. He will be listening tonight. They told him the show is so much different, you wouldn't know it was the same show. And by the way, I think old Norwood was sent to Alaska. Hopefully, Settles will join him soon. I can tell you Dennis Williams is one pissed off jackass. I can't tell you how many calls we've been on every day. Lie, lie, lie. That's all they want us to tell the workers. I will tell you all, no one has any respect for that MF-er. I'm in Illinois now. They're already voting. Don't have a feeling yet how it's going, but I will let you know. By the way, I agree with the folks in Kentucky. This is a much better show than before. Loving the day. Looking forward to Monday. Danny, let me know if this comes out better than the last letter. Have a great show with Leroy, Mary, Brian, Scott from Illinois, and the host Scott, and you too, Donnie. So there you go. And then he wrote back a little bit later. I guess he's seen the Jimmy Settles 11 o'clock interview or statement. So Donnie wrote back and asked you if you've seen the video of Jimmy. I'm going to Jimmy, in parentheses, I'm going to Alaska Settles said today. Damn, it takes practice with a lot of that good. I hope the good UAW people at Ford didn't believe a word of that crap. Just scare tactics is all that was. UAW people are smarter than that, I hope. Got to hit it. Keep your mail on tonight. I will try to write back. Looking forward to Monday morning. There you go. There's the emails. Thank you for the people from Kentucky. Thank you for the people in Ohio. Also, Cleveland actually voted it down, and it was awesome. So they had two big losses last night, and, well, three, really, Cleveland. And that's scaring the hell out of them, I guess, I would suppose. So there you go. Scott Shingledecker, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, Monday Morning. We do appreciate your feedback. And our brothers down here in Kentucky, it's a beautiful place to drive through, but no, I'm not looking to transfer down there anytime soon. but thank you for all your email. For your feedback. We do appreciate that very much. And we do share concerns, and I guess we just have some confirmation that we're on the right track here. All we plan on doing is helping the people out. That's all we want to do is help our brothers and sisters out, get some information, and if that's helping, then we're doing our job. What do you think?
I believe you're right. All Mary, Leroy, Brian, Paul Holderson, awesome people, and really they really have helped people out. Now I sure as hell didn't know about the pension, and I got my butt tight when I heard about it, and. The health care for the workers, there's still people that don't know what world they're talking, you know, what are you talking about, health care? Well, you didn't get that far in the book. Go ahead, Leroy, I think you were talking.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on a little bit on Monday Morning as well. Thank you for your comments. Pardon me, please. I better take a glass of water. Go ahead, Donnie. I got something in my throat.
Well, I tell you what, you have more manners than anybody on the show, Mary Q. Scott and I just muddled through. Mary, what would you like to say tonight?
I'm here. I'm going over things and I'm looking at the posts, and it's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth, that this press conference today was a very bad idea. All it served to do was to alienate the membership further. And I will say there is one thing that I did agree with, and that was that there is a disconnect between the international and the plants. And I'm paraphrasing this here. Yeah, I do believe that that is very true, and I have said that myself for a long time. So apparently powers that be are aware of this then. Now the question would come in, what are they going to do about this? Because I do believe that this vote, not only is it because it's an unacceptable contract, but it's also because I feel that it's almost a rebellion against or an indictment against the leadership of the union, the administration of the union, that, excuse me, they're not happy with it, and this is one of the ways, it's almost like a no-confidence vote. And so where do we go forward in that? There have been a lot of posts, and when you look at the people, you can tell they're either from the PR firm or from the international just by who their friends are and the fact that their profiles are very clean, they're sanitized. And they keep asking us what it's going to take to get us to vote yes. And I posted this. I said, I don't know what they're missing. We've spelled it out very clearly. Yes. And I realized they keep saying it will put Ford at a disadvantage. But maybe if they had talked to the people in the plants on the floor prior to going to the table, we wouldn't be in this position. I know they say, oh, well, we submitted resolutions. I haven't seen any of these resolutions that have come to the table. Now, I was told by my president that one of my resolutions made it to the big table. It's not in the contract. I looked. You know, so once again, I'm going to post what was given up in the recessions, because we're no longer in a global recession or depression, and the company has been making record profits ever since. It's time to restore what was suspended. I have one more thing to add. You know, they've got to start understanding what the meaning of these words are. Suspended is different from conceded, okay? These are the things that we gave up. You know, we've listed them. They know what they are. I don't have to beat a dead horse. That is what we want restored. Now, the Free Press, Brent Snavely, called me today, and he was asking for some input in that. He follows me on Twitter and on Facebook. And so I gave him my opinion. Again, this is only my opinion. You tried to argue with me, but I will stand on what I'm reading in Appendix J, and it being a living agreement. And by what has happened in the past, we can only go on history. So that's where things stand, and that's where we're going. So right now what I'm doing is I'm monitoring. I know they're very anti-social media, but I'm monitoring social media myself right now. I'm monitoring what my brothers and sisters across the assembly system, across the system are saying, the ones that are still there to vote. I would ask people, please do not bully anybody into changing their vote. They have to vote their conscience, but you can explain your position. Please do not demean or call anyone derogatory names, including the leadership or the administration, because it serves no purpose. All right? Do not reduce yourself to somebody else's level. And go into this with your head held high and knowing that you have read the contract and you have the truth on your side, you are talking from a position of facts. That you can't argue the truth. And that is what we are doing, is we have the truth here in black and white. It was what was given us, and we are going forward from that.
There you go. And you said it very good, and that's what I'm doing too. I'm looking through the web pages, and you could definitely tell who's in the union that doesn't the ones don't want you want to vote no. And you spelled it out pretty well. I read it. Spelled it real nice. Spelled it right good.
Yeah, I stole something off of one of the social media sites that I thought I probably should read real quick. Excuse me. Detroit's reporting that the area hospitals are seeing a rise in the number of elbow sprains and shoulder strain. Doctors attribute the sudden rise in these types of injuries to the number of UAW officials that are patting themselves on the back. I thought that was kind of cute. I just wanted to throw that out there a little bit.
Very good.
Break the ice a little bit. I got one more, I guess, I'm going to share and put a little humor into this if we can. Another person asked a question. They said, am I the only one that feels like I have a lawyer, in parentheses, the UAW, representing me and I can't fire them? That's a good question. But anyway, as Murray said, you know, we probably people should refer back to and look at the videos from the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press, and because if you listen to the video from the Detroit News, there was an individual who was one of 53 out of 54 in the implant reps that supported the tentative agreement. This individual also said that it would increase the base wage and the benefits for all, you know, which would include lump sums. And I'm thinking, really, it's going to increase the base wages and the lump sums. That doesn't really do anything with your base wage. They said that it expanded the health care. Well, yeah, it expanded it. It open-ended your health care. Yeah, that's expanding it. I mean, so I guess that wasn't false there. This individual also said they provided job security. And I would ask how. They said that it would expand the skilled trades. Well, sure it is. You're going to start using production people. You're going to start using team leaders to help assist the skilled trades. Well, let's not say, you know, if you're expanding the skilled trades, how can you expand it if you're cutting five of the trades out contractually? I guess I'm a little confused in how you're saying you're expanding it when you're actually taking away from it. And this individual also said that there's going to be 8,500 jobs created with a $9 billion investment. Really? With most of your car production going to Mexico. And my other question would be is, how much will these new jobs pay? I'm sure they're going to be all entry level. I have to stop and think about that one for a minute and how much money we're going to save the corporation. This individual also, kind of like what Mary talked about a little bit just a minute ago, but he says when we're informed properly and we get the facts, they're confident you'll pass this tentative agreement. When we're informed properly and we get the facts, wow, I don't like where that one's going. But we'll probably talk about that a little bit later. And then this individual was questioned from somebody in the press about a strike. He says, look, these people don't understand how the reality of this. They says, you get nothing the first week and only $200 a week after that. It's just people aren't thinking about the reality of it. Really? Really? I like that. I like that mentality and how you're talking down to your members in such a way. Then we had another person come out there, and he talked about pattern bargaining and that the wages were already set in place. In other words, you should have been paying attention to what happened at Chrysler and at General Motors so you know what was coming your way, okay? That person also said that younger workers, they don't understand, and that would put Ford in an unfair labor position. Really? Who did you bargain for then? And the person closed up with the video that I saw, they closed up and said, it looks dark now, but there might be light in the morning. Wow. And then when you go to the Detroit Free Press's video, a person says that there's a lot of misinformation on social media. And I would say, really? Talking the tentative agreement, that's misinformation. Your members are taking this changes to the agreement, and we're talking about it, and we're sharing this on social media. We're sharing it with phone calls and private chats, and we're being misinformed. I dare say maybe misled, but I don't think we're being informed. 16,000 people, they said, have never been through this before. And my question is, wow, has Ford really hired 16,000 people in the last 4 years? You're trying to tell me that 16,000 new people have never been through a contract before? Wow, I must have really missed that one. This person also says, look, all the money we got you. And I want to reiterate on that. Look at all the money we got you. They told that to Chrysler. They told that to General Motors. Don was even there when we've seen individuals slap the podium and keep reminding us how much money we got you. Never mind what it really cost you, but we got it for you. This person also come back and said that If they thought they could have got a better deal, they would have got it already. Well, that just lets me know where your level of negotiations are at, because we know how our brothers and sisters up in Wisconsin right now feel. They went out on strike. And shout out to the people up there in Wisconsin. Good for you. Hold the line. Get what you deserve. And then at the back end of the Detroit Free Press video, another individual come up and talk, and he says, listen, you understand. We understand that 7% of the cost of the vehicle is labor, but we don't want to have an unfair labor agreement to Ford. And I had to stop and think about that for a minute. I'm only 7% of the labor cost of the vehicle, okay? That means there's 93% left out there. And you're telling me that my 7% is going to cause Ford to have an unfair labor agreement? Really? Really interesting. And then they finished up with it. They have a lot of the local reps are out there paving the pavement, spreading the truth. Well, I would say in my opinion, and this has all been in my opinion, by the way, but I will say this. In my opinion, if they're out spreading the truth, that's the kind of truth that we all don't need to hear. Because if that's the case, I believe in my opinion it's half truths. But that's where we're at with this right now. So I would recommend folks go look at the Detroit Free Press's video and the Detroit News' video, and you might have a better understanding of what was being said around and about us. Did you get to see the videos, Mary?
I saw the video. As a matter of fact, I was watching it, and I was typing it, typing commentary as I was watching it. That's why I said, okay. I think that conference, that news conference, has done more harm than good.
Right.
It's their cause, not ours.
Right, because the timing of the video.
Not only that, the people resent being told that they don't understand what they're reading in the agreement, that they don't understand the process, that this may be their first job. It's as if somebody is saying to them that they're not smart enough, they're not good enough. It sends a wrong message, and it's all about perception. You never want to give the appearance of impropriety. And you know, Winston Churchill said that perception is greater than reality, and it's how people were perceiving it. And they were not perceiving it well, and quite frankly, I don't blame them. I was rather offended myself.
Right.
But it's like, who do they think they are?
Right. So, what do you think, Leroy?
Well, I'll try and stay on topic, but I do want to go back and talk about Monday. Maybe I'll finish up or start with Monday morning. You know, brothers and sisters, I just want to respond to Monday morning's email a little bit. First of all, the people on this show have dedicated ourselves through these past month and a half to help you better understand. And this isn't just about a 2 or 3 hour show. This is about 8 to 10 hours every day of research, and having a research department helping us with the day-to-day ongoing things as well as it is our own research in the contracts. I mean, these contracts come out. One of the brothers said when we talked about the pensions first, we should have known about this weeks ago. Well, quite frankly, we'd only got the information just a few days before that. We didn't have forward-looking foreknowledge of this, if you will, but the IUAW did. Now, maybe they should have told you, but we didn't have that, you know. So we had to dig in and read. You know, these contracts are not small. You know, I think the smallest one was around 1,100 pages. This is a lot of work, brothers and sisters, but we've dedicated, all of us, dedicated our lives these past several, couple of months now to try and help you better understand what this is. So Monday morning, thank you for that comment that you made regarding that this is, you know, that we've dedicated ourselves to helping the membership. You're spot on. That's what this is about. Not everybody has the time when they're working and they have young children at home to go through voluminous language, a lot of which you may not understand. I mean, I don't want to talk down to you, but there's a lot of these things that they've written, so it's very difficult to understand. But we're putting it in a way to help you understand better so that you're better informed. We're not saying that you don't understand at all, but it's very convoluted language in some cases. You heard me go through the pension stuff, and it's very, very difficult, you know, so to get through some of that. But those are only, you know, instances where it is very convoluted. There's a lot of language in there that's just on the face of it, just reading it and say, wow, they're taking veterans' pensions away after 8 years. That's real simple to understand. Okay, so there's a lot of this stuff that's not all that complicated. Okay, but again, there's some of it that is. But they made it that way. They made it that way so they could take from us, and they've convoluted this whole Appendix J thing. It's just right. Just a horrible thing. And then when you know the average person may not realize. You can certainly comprehend it once you're told, but you may not realize, maybe that's a better word, that the resolution booklet is full of language that Scott read to you a couple nights ago that just tells you what they're going to do with this Appendix J and GMS language and the Chrysler language that drives this authority higher. So they're being obfuscated in their approach to all of this. But we're here to tie some of that together for you. And that's been our quest here. It's a lot of hard work. And, you know, when we start talking about things, we bring other tangential information in, like you wouldn't know what's in the resolutions book. The average factory worker just simply doesn't know and not aware of that sort of thing. And that's what we're here to do. To help you realize that better, okay? And upon your realization, then you make your vote. So, again, thank you, Monday morning. We're just here to try and help inform and better educate the membership on issues that are sometimes a little difficult and convoluted. And we're here to help is our issue. And it's a lot of hard work. And we have given up our lives. I mean, quite frankly, I had a death in the family today, and I'm here tonight. Brothers and sisters, it's fine. You know, I'll get through this. I've been through this before, but it's a commitment to the membership. That's what we're talking about here. So the other thing about Monday morning's email. I just like to say that I'm happy that the population of Alaska is growing one at a time. we have the Chrysler vice president up there, and we have the Ford vice president headed that way. We didn't hear about the GM vice president. We like to send you all up there, quite frankly, to Alaska, and maybe they'll just stay there after two years and 7 months go by. So we got to have a little humor in there. I want to address the conference. I mean, unless somebody needs to jump in, I don't want to be long, but I just want to address this news conference. Sure. Go ahead.
I just want to thank my son for being here. He's my son. He's been in the UAW family for a long time. So, and he's not in the UAW. He doesn't work he's in Florida working. But I want to thank him for taking the time out to be listening to what's happening up here and all over the country about the UAW. I appreciate that, James. Go ahead, Leroy. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's no problem. I'm happy to hear that good news there from you, Donnie. And you know, a lot of support out here for the show. And we're happy that every listener that's listening gets some value out of this. And we're happy that you're listening. So, as some of you may or may not know, I'm the single me Leroy McKnight. And I'm not bragging about this. This is a fact. I'm the single retiree out of nearly a million at the time that took on GM, Ford, Chrysler, and my own UAW in the VIBA case. I'm the one that initiated legal action. You heard me speak of Pablo Lopez last night. He got an attorney, and he parroted that in the courtroom. He filed the same suit, and he tried his best. He's not just my friend. He's a friend of each and every one of you out there. He was, whether you were UAW or any type of union person, Pablo was a good right. brother. Okay, having said that, but we did that. I got a lot of notoriety out of it. And because of that notoriety, the union went to the membership and they said, Leroy doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't pay any attention to Leroy, because I was the focus, because I had all this notoriety. And please just, you know, listen to us. Listen to us. Don't pay attention to Leroy. I think we heard that this morning. Don't pay attention to this over here. Listen to us. Now, this is old music to us, brothers and sisters, to me at least. This is old music. Listen to us. Don't listen to him over there. Listen to us now today, they said. Listen to us. Don't listen to them on Facebook. They didn't mention the show, but they implicit on it, okay? So this is old music for us. You've seen what happened to the VIBA. By the way, we on the show demonstrate a long history of looking out after our brothers and sisters by doing such things as taking on the entities to try and stop the VIBA, or at least mitigate it to where it was palatable. The companies should be funding that, all three of them, but they're not. And now we're stuck with the will of the marketplace, and hopefully that will hold up, but who knows, to fund these things and make sure they stay above certain levels, and the pensions the same way. But we have a long history of sticking up for you. And we have a long history of being correct, because look what the VIBA's turned into. Since 2005, $4,150, directly or indirectly, has been taken away from active or from retirees, from those people who have retired. And I won't go into that. I've written a long, well, it was one page, very detailed article about why all of those. And that's available online. I'll put it up there in the next few days as well. So we have some history with that. But I want to now take a look at this dog and pony show this morning that we saw. And we heard, you don't understand, okay, but, you know, we've been sort of educated by the people on the show now, so we do understand, you know, even those items that were a little convoluted, we've been told about that. But look at all this money we got over here for you, is what they said. Look at all of this and this and this. All of the things in the highlights, brothers and sisters. And we're over here, the show is, showing you these things that are the pension plan, the Appendix J, the idea that military service people are limited in their pension credits, the inequities of the expansion of the temporaries, the health care that's open-ended. They can do with that whatever they want. We've educated you on their desire to have a works council and how that is now manifesting. It appears to be manifesting already in General Motors, and how that can be put into action by Appendix J and GMS in the Chrysler language. Ford has Appendix J. It's very clear that they want to have a living agreement. And that means that they can change anything without a vote of the people. Most of these are very open-ended. Appendix J is open-ended. The health care is open-ended. The pension plan is subject to the market now because the companies have been relieved of funding them, just like the VEBA. But they're making billions of dollars and shucking it in every hole that they can find before they have to report these pittance of $3 or $4 billion. But there's hundreds of billions that they're just chucking away or going overseas and building new plants on our back.
That's right.
Somebody spoke about that the other night. These plants are being built with the profits that we're generating here. And they're never showing up in profit sharing, and they're never showing up on the bottom line to the stockholders. But they're building all of these plants on our back, brothers and sisters. You know, and if we were paid properly, you know, they could still build them, just take them a little bit longer if they paid the actives and the retirees in a proper manner and fund those funds that they say they were going to give us in retirement. Okay? So I'll say that the show that you saw this morning, and I'm going to agree with Mary, did more harm than it did good. Because, one, it said, you can't understand. Well, you've been educated by us, even if you couldn't. But we certainly helped you to realize some of the things that they didn't want you to understand, like the resolution language that Scott read the other night about works
right.
councils after I educated you about works councils. That is not even in the agreement, and that's why it's hard to understand. Okay, so that's their intent with this. So the dog and pony show that you saw this morning is probably going to wind up with one more person up in Alaska. The population of Alaska will go up next week. Probably take them a while to drive there because I don't think they're going to fly them there after this. being a little facetious. But it's like you got your left hand up over here. The union's taking a left turn over here. Look at all this stuff over here that we got you on the left turn. And over here on the right side where it's right, okay, this is the contract language that we are not highlighting and the PR firm would not like you to hear about, okay, but the PR firm is not able to control this show. They tried, but they can't.
Oh, yeah.
They tried, but they can't. We said very clearly we are committed on the show statement in protecting you from such actions. And we're doing our level best to do that and just get you the information that you need. Okay? And that's what you need to have. And I'm going to go out there and as somebody that's been around a while, I'm going to say the VEBA was a bad thing. And these contracts, in every measure, have been a bad thing. So you can listen to them. You can listen to the dog and pony show about the money, or you can take a look at what's really being taken away from you and what's really going on over here. One last thing about works councils. Our union, as you know, by personality, has become a company union, but it's still in black letter print, a members union. Okay? I want you to follow that. The members, according to the Constitution, are the highest authority. Whenever we vote, then we're the highest authority. And the only reason that we're a company union is by personality of those people holding high office that we empower to give us good contracts, negotiate those for us. Unlike our system, a works council benefits the company in just amazing ways. Okay? It, in fact, formalizes the works council, when affected, will formalize our union as being a company union, top-down company union. And that is certainly their goal by the IUAW, as we see in the resolution book, and it's their goal with the language such as is in Appendix J.
So they feel pretty confident that, well,
right,
the local leadership that are promoting these things must feel pretty confident that they're in with the in crowd and would get promoted to remain as a union
right.
leader if it were to ever get to the point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, like I said, with your health care, they're going to try to do something. They are so worried about the right to work where they failed on it. They are going to try to do something to keep people from leaving. Now, I'm in Ohio. That is not a right-to-work state, and we are going to continue to fight right-to-work in the state of Ohio. You know, we've been successful in fighting it off thus far, and I pray that we can continue to be successful in fighting it off. I know I will do everything I can to work against right-to-work because I think it's the wrong thing. I don't believe in it. Never apologize for that. But I really do think that in the states like Michigan and everything, that our right to work, that they're going to have to come up with some kind of ploy in order to keep people from opting out if this contract is passed, because the people are very angry about it. They don't feel that they are adequately represented. And I think going after the health care is going to be the major thing, because that is one of the reasons that people will put up with the crap that they do. Is, and you know, in Ford, crap is a technical training term. But we, in order, a lot of people are working there for the benefits. So they're coming up with something. I really, truly believe that.
Well, your point is about what the union leadership, the local union leadership, is motivated by, mm-hmm. Mary, is well taken.
Yeah, I segued.
Yeah, it's okay. I was just going to wrap up the Works Council, and that's, brothers and sisters, this Works Council language is very dangerous, and it's in the contracts. It's in all three of them. We've been talking against it since Chrysler, okay, and it's very dangerous. This Appendix J for Ford now is Mary has outlined many times, and I've come right in here and told you why that language is there to affect a Works Council and anything else they want to do once they have that. But it's just very dangerous language, and I would encourage everyone before you go vote. I'm not telling you to vote yes or no. I'm here to educate you, okay? And I want you to be fully aware of what you're voting on, because you didn't hear from the Dog and Pony Show this morning, there was no touting of the advantages of a Works Council in that Dog and Pony Show called video this morning. Now, was there? They didn't say one word about it, but we're telling you about it. Now, who's
lying?
They
didn't address any concerns.
Right. Who's lying to you? Did they say anything about the things that we've been bringing up, open-ended health care? Nothing. So you take on the face of it what we're saying and what they're saying, and I submit that you're getting good information from us and a Dog and Pony Show saying, look at the money, take the money, and don't worry about those other things we're taking away from you. So having said that, let's get to motivation of local leaders and what their eventual fate will be. Now, their motivation, most of the local union leaders are aspiring to be international staff person. And that's a nice thing. You know, it's good to, you know, if you make it your career to become a staff person, but only for the proper motivations, okay, to serve the membership, not to get in there and start to listen lockstep to totalitarian system, I should say, it's better said. That doesn't give you your own ability to think. In fact, the servicing reps now have been limited in their ability to settle things beyond what they used to. I mean, everything is handled up at the AA or AD level inside the structure. And that's a sad commentary in and of itself, because the staff service and rep ought to be able to settle these things at that mid-level point rather than take it clear to Solidarity House, so that you know. But the motivation is, and to hear these things, hey, looks, you know, everything I'm hearing looks like you're going to go on. Everybody's got your name in their mouth. We got our eye on you. We're looking at you. And these guys and women that are local union leadership, they get, you know, all giddy when they hear those words. They think, wow, you know, I'm working over here and I'm making, you know, 60, 70. And as soon as I go on, I'm getting, what, 110 now, plus the perks that go with it, all the perks. Right. You know, they get a car, they get a car allowance, you know, or a car allowance that pays for a car, all these little things that they get. So that's what they're looking at, a lot of money. And then if they go anywhere, they get, you know, a really nice per diem, and they get paid really well. When it's all said and done, you know, a staff person can make easily into the 130s. And you'll see that if you look at the LM2. A lot of staff people that do any traveling at all are making pretty good money. And that's their motivation. But I'm going to tell you something. Because of Appendix J and what the Works Council coming in, once a Works Council or whatever, you know, they're going to call it, comes into the local unions, first thing that's going to go is the committee body. They will not have any voice any longer. Some of them will still remain, but they'll cut back. They'll say the numbers per representation will be much higher than they are now, because they simply won't need them. They'll make a change in the Constitution and just change that. Or in the local
actually, numbers
well.
For representation are contractual.
Are contractual. Yeah, I misspoke. That's right. I'm coming back and correcting that, Mary. So I think ours are one for every 250 or one for every 500. I get those confused because there's numbers for convention delegates that I always get backwards, but I think it's 250, one for every 250 now for a committee person. But those numbers will go up, and because the Works Council is going to handle all of the complaints that come in. So those are going to go. I mean, Gettelfinger said, I see no use for local unions in the future. He said it, came right out and said it. Okay, so that's your fate. Yeah, you'll have a few people there, and you might have a meeting once in a while, and the committee body's going to get destroyed numbers-wise. And it'll look like you kind of have something going on there. But in reality, the authority is being pushed to the very top of these organizations. And here's one for you that nobody's talked about any time lately, especially those leadership, I shouldn't say leadership, the people that are elected to represent you.
Administration?
I mean, you really want to call them the administration, because they really don't do a good job of that either. But the people that happen to hold elected positions, let's just say that they're ignoring the biggest threat to our workforce, and that's automation. Nobody has come up with a plan for automation to deal with it, because our jobs are going away. I mean, there's a plant, a Kia plant in Mexico, that's as close to a lights-out plant as you can get. I don't think there's 50 people there in the pictures that I've seen. The plant floor is total robots. You're not even allowed on the plant floor. They're right next to each other.
I've seen it.
You're not even allowed on the plant floor when these things start up. They're standing in a control room, and if something goes wrong, the control room shuts everything down, and they go down to fix it, and then they come back up. They stay in the control room. There's about, I counted 38, but I don't know. I'm going to guess maybe 50 people total. And that's the biggest threat, and they haven't even addressed it. It's not even in the language. There's nobody that's negotiating, saying for every robot you get one person that's in a jobs bank or anything like that. And we've just ignored it. And it's a crying shame that we don't have any more vision by the elected people in this union than to do something about that as well. The Japanese have done something about it. I'm told that they have one person paid for every two robots. So, but having said that, that's about my report for tonight. I can't tell you how to vote. I can tell you what you heard today. I can tell you what I heard 10 years ago in Aviva. Both things are bad. And you make up your own decision, your own family situation, how you vote. But a lot of the folks at Ford are turning it down 2-1. And then when you take that incentivized 28% out of there, that gets to that vote of no confidence that we've been talking about for a while, close to 90%.
Right.
Okay? And that is not lost on me or anybody on this show. And it shouldn't be lost on you. Brothers and sisters, you are angry at what's going on, and you've demonstrated it by your vote. And we aim to help you correct what's going on. So
yes,
with that, I'm done. And if anybody has some comments on that,
I just want to say about Viva. They're taking a lot of medication away, and I was put on something else. And whatever this stuff, it looked like I was muscle bound, my legs. And I said, it looked like I was still catching. I was used to be a baseball catcher. My calves were huge. Yeah, I didn't have any ankles anymore. Looked like I had kinkles. And God, everything was swelled up. Not everything, unfortunately. But I had to stop taking these things because I can't, what the doctor prescribed told me it was for me personally. I can't afford because they won't, Viva stop paying for it. And once in a while, I get a list of things from Express Scripts that tell me the medication that I can't get paid for anymore. Of course, you don't get it free anyway. I pay $80 for some kind of medication. So you pay a lot of money, but they're eliminating a lot of stuff also that people need. And I can probably live without this stuff, but he's going to have to change it to something else that I can take. But a lot of people have a lot more serious problems than myself is going through this. There's a lot of heart medicine out there that's you can't get. You got to take an alternative if your doctor, prescribes the other type. I feel bad for the older people. I'm 60. And I can't imagine going through what some of these folks that retired 20 years ago and bad health, what they're going through with this Viva crap. It's terrible. I'm done.
Once again, Donnie, we fought against that. In fact, you're talking to the only person that really led the fight. We had 1,450 objectors that came in and said, we don't want this to happen, but we encouraged those people through the groups that we knew, and there might have been, as in the last one of Henry II, where we sort of just let the will of the membership take place. We only had about 53 objectors. So the Henry I, we had 1,450 objectors, and we went out and beat the bushes to get those. And, literally went out there, wrote articles for newspapers, everything. We talked about it all over. I can't tell you the number of speeches I gave about that. The small groups all around, retirees groups and things like that. But it turned out that it wasn't a good thing now, was it? So our vision and insight back then isn't very different than what we're telling you now. Okay, so this is just not a good agreement, and we're saying it loud and clear, brothers and sisters. And if you turn it down, we're we're behind you on that. We'll help you in ways that might show up as time goes by on how to address some of the things that you'd like to have removed, like Appendix J. That's the biggest thing. Open-ended health care, that's the next biggest thing. Okay? Appendix J will change your union to formalize it to becoming a formal company union, not just a personality type that's kowtowing to management. This will make it a formalized company union. The company in Germany conducts the election for the Works Council. And then
right.
They educate those people and try and keep them in power. And then they control the elections to the point that there's no challengers allowed. So this is not good language, brothers and sisters.
It's
not good at all.
What,
and the dog and pony show says that we're telling you lies. You know, what did they say about works councils today? Again, I'm going to repeat myself. What did they say about works councils today in the dog and pony show? What did they say about Appendix J in the dog and pony show today? Not one word. All they said is, look at all this money over here, but don't pay attention to them people over there because they don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, if you have anybody, you know, have any questions, don't ask the wrong people. Ask the right people. And what happens when you ask the right people? The AAs and the ADs stand in the front of the doggone room and say, we don't know. We don't know. We don't understand what your question is. Oh, we'll have to call Solidarity House, and we'll get somebody back to you, okay? And the local union benefit reps, okay, I know one. I won't go into a name this time. I know one here in Lansing voted for the agreement, positive yes, okay, in the General Motors. And he was asked. It was a guy, okay? He was asked, did you read the contract? You know about this and this and this and this and open-ended health care and pensions, the way they're being handled now. No, I didn't read the contract, he said. You're a benefit rep. How can you represent us if you don't know the changes in this new agreement? How could you possibly vote yes on something that you didn't know or encourage anyone else to vote yes on something that you yourself didn't know?
Incredible.
Right. He had no answer. Okay. So you can listen to the Dog and Pony Show or you can listen to Real Reason here. So with that, you know, anybody else got anything to say?
No. Like I said, I'm monitoring Facebook and Twitter and that, the social media that they abhor and despise. And I'm always available if anybody has any questions. I did not speak to any international reps. When I was at my plant yesterday, I spoke to one, but it had nothing to do with the contract. I didn't see any of the others. You know, nobody else has spoken to me. When people ask me a question, I answer it. You know, and none of them have refuted. They will start personal attacks. They will come up with all sorts of reasons, but nobody has been able to refute what I have said.
Right.
So I'm sticking with that.
There you go.
Well, you know, I watched both the videos, and I was really disheartened. If you pull the promises out of what they got, they didn't talk about the important things. You know, I was really concerned with some, in my opinion, some false numbers. I wasn't aware that Ford had hired 16,000 employees since the last contract. So disheartened me was that you had to, in my opinion, you threw out a threat of a strike and not telling people that they don't understand reality. I think our brothers and sisters truly do understand reality. They live it every day.
You do.
You go to
every
work.
Day.
Right. Every day they go to work. Their jobs are being sacrificed, literally, because of the money the corporation makes, profits corporation makes. And then, like Leroy said, that they use that money to send our jobs other places around the world. I was ashamed that they didn't want to talk about that. you know. And here's something that we've never heard from any of these people except for here on the show. How much wealth does each employee generate for these corporations? So it's getting there, I think. I don't know.
You're right, Scott. Productivity is right through the roof. You know, and productivity
right.
is, you know, how much a person, what the amount of wealth that a person creates for a company or corporation, productivity. And it's, you know, arguably 3.25 times to 6.25 times, depending on how you look at that. Hard numbers, just absolute hard numbers, 6.25 times. But if you take that they've outsourced so many jobs, it's down to about 3.25 times what they were doing 10 years ago. So anywhere from 3.5 people or 3.25 people jobs to 6.25 people jobs. Okay, so this is something that's just absolutely amazing to think that they can't pay people properly, to think that they have to impose a company union on you, to think that they can't somehow do something with the pensions and the health care from the company and not be playing games. I mean, we talked about Blue Cross Blue Shield being universally accepted across the whole United States, and now they're going to come up with Acme Healthcare and say, oh, yeah,
right.
This is good. Yeah, we don't know what they're going to call it. We're just calling it Acme just for the sake of saying it's going to be something different that's not necessarily universally accepted already. Okay.
Right.
Getting to the measure of leaders, I want to say just really briefly, you know, we look at people who are elected and those that aspire to be elected. And there's really two types of people who seek office or hold office. One of those people does it for power and control. And the other person, the other type that is, does it for the privilege and the pleasure of serving the membership or the population at large.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to submit that the second one is probably the better one. And as you make your decisions on who to elect or who to not elect, I would like you to put that in your filter before you get into whatever personality that they may have that you like or not like. Always put that one first, because I, you know, over the years, I have noticed that the former, it doesn't seem to really represent the people as well as the latter. In other words, someone who's in it for power and control is not as good as somebody who truly seeks to serve the membership.
Right.
So, having said that, that's, you know, I don't know how we're doing on time. We're probably a little long.
Well, let me get Scott Holderson on.
Okay.
There you go. Scott, you're on with us.
Oh, good evening, guys.
Good evening, sir. We had you on three times tonight, but you must have pushed one by mistake because you were working and talking to other people. So, but we had you on three times.
Sorry about that. I missed the mute. And you were, I guess, privy to my conversations for a little while, but I had a meeting to go to, and then working the, getting some of my letters out to the members, and trying to get folks out to the polls.
Wow!
Go ahead.
What was that?
No, go ahead, Scott, or whoever that was.
Yeah, how's the voting going?
We're just about wrapping up. We wrap up at 8 o'clock Central Time. And it'll probably take a couple hours to go through and sort the ballots and count them all. I think we're having a pretty decent turnout. I voted last night about this time, and at that time we had over 2,000 people vote already, is what I was told.
Wow. Wow. Very nice.
I'm sorry, what
that's
was
a,
that?
That's
he had last time he had 2,000, over 2,000 that voted.
Wow. That is good.
Yeah.
And you'll have 21 more minutes or something like that before the polls close at your place, right? You're an hour behind us, I believe.
Yeah, just a few more minutes.
Yeah. Wow, I'll be looking forward to you that on Facebook now. Don't forget. We want to.
Yeah,
we wanna
know. As soon as we get the results, assuming I'm awake still.
Well, that's true, right? I know what
I
you
am
mean.
We
can all relate, Scott, believe me. It's been a long, long few weeks here, I believe, a couple of months, really.
Yeah. Well, how are you feeling at your local, Scott?
Well, our local has a tradition of history of voting contracts now, so that probably means that this won't be much different. I'm not going to predict any numbers or anything, but
sure.
That's just the way it usually goes. And we'll know those numbers shortly enough.
Well, we're getting some feedback.
That's when.
Yeah, I'm out walking the dog. And,
I got you. Gotcha.
You know, they don't call it the wind for nothing, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I think we have another lady on, or somebody, 659, you're on with us also, so I just want you to jump in when you want to. But go ahead, Scott, you were talking.
I said all our hard work has been paying off, and it's going to come down to the wire with this. Even if ours goes the way I suspect it will, between Flat Rock and Local 600, there's it's going to be a very close one, depending exactly on which way those two go.
Right.
Yeah, 600 make a big difference.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Jeannie.
Yes. How are you this evening, Donald?
Well, I'm lovely, dear.
Well, I just briefly wanted to say to you, to Leroy, to Teresa, to Mary, and all these people behind the scenes. I know how much work you've put into all this and how much sleep you guys have lost, and I want to thank you guys for doing that. I've watched my husband, just pour himself into this, and I can only imagine how much more you guys have done, and I want to thank you guys for your sacrifice of doing that and your family's sacrifice of doing that. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, that's
thank
very
you.
Nice. Mrs. King, Scott's wife, and a beautiful, wonderful lady she is. We're going to do so Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Called Sound Off. So we'd like to go to the next show. It's Jean's show, and she's the master of it. She's great. We check her out. Township.
Well,
it's
with help from you as well.
Well, I run the switch. Right. I understand.
But without even you doing this show, Don, I don't think people would have started asking questions, started looking into things. Oh, and one other thing is the abuse you guys have taken in social media has been tremendous.
How about
and you
the
guys
threats?
Have, and you guys have weathered it very, very well. You have risen above and not lowered yourself to their standards, although I know all of you guys wanted to. But, you know, you showed you guys yourselves to be men and women and rose above it. And I'm very, very proud of all of you for that.
I'm so proud of you. But thank you.
Well, you had help to be proud of, you know. It's just a matter we were all there to support one another through this.
Right.
And
not to say what I feel. I try. I really do try. I probably need counseling because I like to tell and it's not nice sometimes. And I have been nice. So there you go.
But you rose above. And that makes and that's awesome. And you guys all should be proud of yourselves for doing so. Kudos.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And thank you, Donnie. I'm glad that you're not on a train to Alaska, by the way.
Well, me either.
You gotta have some fun with it.
We're supposed to get in our own snow here Saturday night. Is Scott Holderson still on?
No. Scott? He's still on.
I want to let Scott know if he was aware that at Flat Rock plant last night that the IUAW was actually helping to go out there and spread this so-called half-truth at the plant last night. I didn't know if he was aware of that or not.
Yeah, you can bring that up. Yeah, they were walking the floor talking to people, weren't they?
Yeah. Now you got to understand something. They're out here talking, and there's a good point to be made. We've all heard about Monday Morning come out and talk in the emails. He's had to come out and tell you. He's apologized to you for this, but he's told you that he is told to lie to the members. He's told us time and time again, don't trust these people. They're lying to you. Not trying to add any credits to what we're saying here, but we're just telling you, somebody from Solidarity House has told us they're told to go lie to the membership. He says, don't even believe me. I've had to do it. And he apologized for having to do it.
And he said, don't believe a word I say. Don't believe if in that in the highlight book. Don't believe a word I say. And he said it, and he apologized. He says I feel terrible about it. These contracts are bad. That's a contract I believe coming up. But he told us way before anything that look out for the health care. He warned us about the health care. He knew that was coming up, but he also knew about the pensions. But I know why he couldn't say anything, and I can't tell why. But he's a good guy. He really is, and he cares about the membership of the UAW. And he's sick of the lies. And so we'll see. I hope it's a vote against in Chi-Town.
Well,
if Scott's still there. I'm getting a big echo.
Yeah, Scott.
If Scott's still there. Does he know when does Flat Rock and Local 600, don't they finish up their voting today, tomorrow?
I'm not sure about Flat Rock. I think there's probably wraps up. I'm not sure. Local 600, at least the truck plant, is voting through Friday. Sometime Friday they wrap up.
Yeah, they wrap up Friday. One of them is Friday. I know that. Somebody told me that.
Right. Okay. Well, I was just trying
I heard that
you know,
from Gary Walkowitz. I talked to Gary about it.
Okay. How's Gary feeling down there?
Well, you know Gary. He's pushing the no vote. He's writing his letters and getting them out to his membership. You know, much like me, he probably doesn't want to try and make predictions. Let the process go through and then at the end we'll find out whether our work paid off or not.
Gotcha. We'll just keep supporting our brothers and sisters, and hopefully they're reading this language, you know, for themselves and asking some good questions, I guess.
Yeah, that's all you can do, and man, I tell you, they're bombarding these Facebook pages. Wow. But
there's a whole lot of language to read. It's really impossible for the average line worker to be able to read all that in the time frame that's given. So that's why they do rely heavily on us. We've built up a lot of trust, and that's important. And I've had people come up to me and ask me what I thought, and said, I don't have time to go to read everything that's in there. I know that you've done a lot of research, and I trust your judgment. So a lot of people, at least at my plant, have said that to me.
That's awesome. That's very nice. That would be a good feeling. Well, Scott Shingledecker, you get that too. People trust you.
Yep.
And T-Bones, Terry Tobias, there's a lot of people that trust him. Because he tells what he knows. And whether they believe it or not, you know, that's up to them. But just get out and vote. I'll be up. I don't know how long this counting will be, but I'll be up till the counting's over. And like I was last night, and I was as giddy last night at Kentucky. Scott called me, and he said, "Is there?" I think you said there was results of a plan in, and I checked, and both of them were in, and it was two big losses. So, and then we had Cleveland. Mary filled us in on Cleveland, and
right,
that was great. That was three last night, but one passed. I can't remember where, but one passed. And first time I liked Ohio was last night when Cleveland actually passed or voted down the vote. No, I don't like Ohio State. I'm sorry, Mary. I apologize. Hold on. That lady that wrote a letter also said something about, hold on, let me, I skipped that because I read that today and I said, I shouldn't even read that, and I didn't read it. Let me see if I can find it. She said it was about Mary.
While you're looking for that, hey Mary, what were the results at your plant?
If you give me a second here, I'll pull them up.
Okay.
We had Okay, because we failed it, and I know we had a great turnout. We had Cleveland Engine Plant, Local 1250, we had 444 yeses in production. We had 562 no's in production. We had 43 yeses in skilled trades and 98 no's in skilled trades.
Wow.
Awesome. So it did not pass.
No, it did not.
Awesome.
Okay.
And
no, it did not. And currently, as it stands, with all the votes that we've counted in so far, we've got 48% failing or passing it and 52% failing it.
Wow.
So,
wow. Good.
You know, but the thing is, what kills me is the hypocrisy. If this were passing, okay, and you had some people that were not happy with it, the powers that be, the administration, would say, well, the membership has spoken. Okay, well, the membership is speaking right now. Why do they have such a problem with that?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, it's just, I just don't understand it.
Well, they said that they listened to the membership. Maybe now they're starting to hear the membership. I think that
based on that video conference today, the press conference. No,
gotcha.
I don't believe they have. No, if you watch that for yourself. No, not at all. Now they're just insulting us and saying that the younger people don't understand the process and that there's too much misinformation and just all sorts of things. They're, you know,
the strike.
God forbid we would have our own thoughts and opinions on this. God forbid we should vote the way that we feel. Because they happen to disagree with it, we're wrong. And it's not, they can't tell us why we're wrong. They can't address any of the specifics that we have pointed out. They can only tell us, well, we don't understand. What don't we understand? Tell me. I am very curious.
Right.
What do we not understand? I think it might be a case of we might understand it all too well.
Right.
There you go.
I don't know.
I got something that just came in that kind of dovetails on what we've been talking about the last few days about Works Council. As of 6:52 p.m. this evening, reported by Eric Schertzlig from the Associated Press out of Nashville, Tennessee, Germany's largest trade union now opening U.S. office with UAW. The IG Metall that we talked about, their largest union over there that's responsible for wages, is opening an office along with the UAW in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Okay.
Well,
that's what
also,
you got coming. Okay. And this was all of these contracts were supposed to be done by now, and this is what's coming behind it. You know, had we not been dragging some of this out a little bit with the GM and the Chrysler. All of these contracts were expected to be done, and this was what they're going to hit you with as soon as the contracts were done. But Ford's not done voting yet, okay?
Right.
And here we are. This came out, and we can now report almost instantaneously because of our research department about this news. And this is exactly what we've been talking about, that they're in bed with them, and they're going to make the Detroit 3 Works Council model company union as well. And again, everything that I talk about is in my opinion, but it's a well-educated opinion. So, but this is big news, brothers and sisters. This is what's coming. Only it was supposed to, all of these contracts were supposed to be wrapped up, and obviously IG Metall couldn't wait to come over here, so they made a critical error in allowing this to be broadcast tonight and published tonight. Wow. Holy smokes.
I also got to come in behind Brother Leroy real quick. Research department just got a hold of me also. The UAW GM Council will meet
Friday morning at 9:30 a.m. Mark Royce says, I'm not really worried about it. He's confirmed that the impasse is not going to change the product plans, and he said that hopefully they'll have this all ratified and done up. So thank you to the research department for that. So we've got that going to be done. Iggy Mattel's here. Works Council experts, right, Leroy?
Yes.
Leroy?
Works Council coming. Yes, I'm here. I had a phone muted. That's all.
They're the experts at this, right?
Yes. I've read everything that they did down there in Chattanooga, including every one of the court filings. And they tried to keep those secret, but I had access to them. So.
Right. Well,
now you said that there was an email that you got from somebody mentioning me. Was there a problem, or did they have a question?
No, it was. I remember her name was Kate, and I'm sorry I cannot find it. I might not have printed it off, but her name was Kate, and she was saying what a fantastic job you do on the show, and please always stay on the show with Leroy and Scott Holderson and Brian and of course Scott Schindeldecker, and please stay on it and go Buckeyes. Oh, and that made me sick.
That's what a smart woman.
Well, let me just say this about the Buckeyes. Okay, I grew up in Buckeye Land, Youngstown, Ohio, and I now live in East, real close to East Lansing. I'm not in the city of East Lansing, but about maybe 6 miles from the University of Michigan State. Okay, and I can say this because Michigan State and Michigan or in Ohio State play on Saturday, and I can say easily, go State. And I'm correct in both instances. Let's
I'm
talk about a politician, right?
I got two different deals going. I got the SEC for Alabama because I'm from Alabama, and I got Michigan. So
I always have to vote for Notre Dame and Ohio State.
I gotta have Michigan State. That's all there is to it.
Notre Dame is a religion in the house that I grew up in because my father's from Belfast, and then, of course, I went to Ohio State, so, you know, we go Bucks and that.
We'll just leave it at that, because we'll start cussing at each other, and we don't want to do, you know, King came on and gave us.
That's okay. Hey, I understand that you guys would like a win, but, you know.
Here we go.
We can't all be winners there, Don. I'm sorry. I mean, I know Ohio State's being a little selfish with the winning, but, you know, go Bucks.
There you go.
All I can say is go State.
There you go. And go UAW.
Hey.
Go membership. Go rank and file.
Yes.
Solidarity.
Yes.
We are the union.
Yes.
Good.
That's right. We are the union. We're the members, and we're the people that put others in office to do a good job for us. So.
But I agree with you.
Does that include Alaska?
I know.
I think they're being disenfranchised in Alaska, but we do have some locals up there.
That's good or not. He put that in there about buzz of the gut, and that was fun.
That's funny.
He said, you know, he hasn't heard from a Norwood Jewel in a long time. He just probably went to Alaska. Anyway, I agree with Mary. I don't think that video did the IUAW any good at all. I thought that hurt them very bad. It was silliness, actually. You're going to miss a week. You won't get paid for a week, and after that, if there's a strike, they get $200 a week. They better realize that. I believe that was the president or something of the Local 600 that said that. I just don't scare these people. It's time not to be scared about this stuff. Well, we've been on strike. Did you hear those two say, yeah, we've been on strike before. We know how it is. Well, I've been on strike. I know how it is, too. Scott's been on strike. He knows how it is. I carry a picket sign. T-Bone, Terry Tobias, he carried a picket sign. He knows how it is. I don't know who hasn't carried a picket sign, but you got to do it. But don't fall into that little fake strike, that little 2 or 3 day, 4 day strike crap, and think
Hollywood.
You got some
Hollywood strike.
Yeah, that's what we went
Hollywood
through last
strike.
Time. The little Hollywood strike, right?
Stand tall, brothers and sisters, because whatever you do, you stand tall in it. Whether you turn this down or whether it passes, stand tall because you're the membership. You're the people who tell the other people what to do.
That's right.
Here, here. Well, as we get ready to wind down and wrap her up, go ahead, Don.
Yeah. I know I just put some extra time on just to say I want to thank everybody. I know the hard work all of you have done. Scott Holderson, geez, 44 hours of election. Geez, that's I can't even imagine voting. I can't imagine that. And Mary, for all the work she does. And Leroy.
It's a lot of reading. I'm tired.
You know, I can imagine. And you were doing this and campaigning, too. So, man, you did double duty, and you did great. And one,
well, my election was prior to this, yeah. I'm still going to the council meetings and everything. Get sworn in sometime next month. So I will be a voice for labor on the Lorain City Council and for the residents. So
there you go.
Doing the right thing for the right reasons. But, you know, brothers and sisters, whatever you do, just please exercise your democratic right and your duty and obligation to vote. Good luck and God bless you all. And remember, we are the union. And we stand strong.
Please vote. And if you vote, please don't say a word, because I don't want to hear. Zachary, I know how much work you've done, brother. I know how much work you've done. It's tremendous. And Jean, for putting up with you, I don't know how she does it, but Jean's a hell of a lady. And you're lucky to have her. Scott.
Real quick. I do want to tell my wife and my family, thank you for their sacrifice, also for putting up with me going
me?
Through this.
Well, I thought you
And you.
And only Jean puts up with
it. Go ahead.
Luckily, the kids haven't got that far yet. So, and Leroy, always.
I wanted to say for... real quickly, that my president was being pressured to have our vote quickly last Thursday, and he told the international, and I'm not sure exactly who he told, but you know, he told them no, our members need more time, and he gave them more time, and we had the the 2 days of voting, or the day and three quarters of voting. For our membership, because he stuck to his guns. So I got to commend my president for that.
Absolutely, that is wonderful. Give people time.
Super.
And look what happened in Kansas City. They didn't give them time, and they went down in flames. And thank God for that. But we will be back. I don't know when are we going to do a. Friday's the last election, right? Are we going to do a Friday night show, or what are we doing? So we can tell the folks. Thursday.
Got some more news.
Breaking news.
Go ahead. breaking news. The NLRB rules Volkswagen to have UAW election of maintenance workers. Okay. So they're going to have
the
election Local 42 down there. The NLRB upheld the members' rights. So down at Local 42. And they're going to have their election. NLRB made that ruling, I guess, today. Chloe Morrison from the Nuga Times published today. So just that's another breaking news story. Having said that, I just like to thank everybody on this show. Everybody, Mary, Brian Keller,
absolutely,
Scott Olderson, and Scott Schengeldecker, and especially Donnie, putting on this show all the time. I know you. It's just you know, we've called on you to have all these shows, and it's been a real chore to get it all together and put it together. And you're running other shows as well. And thank you, Donnie. And
you're well.
A lot of work that we've all done. And I'd like to thank the listeners. And I want to remind you, if you find value or found value in this show this evening, please just tell one other person, UAW, Teamster, iron worker, anybody you want, not a union member, that might find value in what we have to say here. Just tell one more, and that'll make us all stronger as time goes by. Because this isn't just about us in the UAW. It's about unions at large, and it's also about the public, the general public, because if we make more money, you'll make more money. Our boat truly does rise yours.
That's
unlike
true.
Things that we've been told of before. Okay?
Yeah.
So when our money goes up, yours just automatically follows. It just does.
That's
you
right.
The striations that are bigger. So, having said that, I'll say goodnight from Leroy.
Okay, we're going to do a show Friday night or not? Quickly, Scotty. It's up to you.
I don't think there'll be a necessity for it right now. So I'd probably say no. Let's all get
right.
A break and we'll
see everybody Sunday night then, right?
Yep.
This time 7 o'clock Sunday night. And that's what we'll
Eastern
celebrate.
Time.
Michigan.
All righty,
State.
I'll see you guys then.
All right. Thanks, Mary.
Good night.
Hey, hold on. I wasn't done talking. Just hang on.
My apologies.
7 o'clock
okay,
we'll be celebrating.
Okay, boss.
Michigan State's victory over Ohio State and Alabama.
Oh, no. Well, then if that was the case, we would never meet. But when Ohio State wins, I had a meme out on Facebook yesterday. Do not ever, ever argue with an Irish woman. You will never win.
I'm married to one. I know. Trust me.
Okay, well, I'm first generation. My poor Polish husband has found out the hard way.
Yeah, me too. everybody have a great night. We'll see everybody back Sunday night at 7 o'clock, okay?
Thank
very
you.
Good.
Okay.
And join us if you want to Thursday night, 9 o'clock for the Township Sound Off, Gene Schengeldecker Show, and for people that is concerned in their communities. So that's what it's about. So check it out. 9 o'clock Thursday night, everybody. And 7 o'clock Sunday night, that's when we'll be back for the UAW Factory Whistle Show. So everybody have a great night. Be safe. Have a safe, safe week. We'll talk to you soon.
Solidarity.
Good night.
Good night.
Solidarity.
Solidarity.
Good night, everybody.